Hi there, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
And welcome to The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We are digital producers for BravoTV.com, coming to you from the Bravo offices in Rockefeller Center.
Something exciting happened this week. Candy Burris was in the office.
Yes. So we're doing this, if you haven't heard about it, get to BravoTV.com because we're doing this Real Housewives of Atlanta after show with all of the ladies. There's been some teases for it on Facebook and social and things. But Candy couldn't film with the rest of the ladies because she is doing her Chicago stint, which I'm super duper excited about.
Right.
And I really, really want to go because I still haven't seen Chicago on Broadway. And I'm like, if all times to see it, it's with Candy Burris. But anyway, so she was in the office doing her press day. It was like at 5 o'clock at night or like 6 o'clock at night is when she was supposed to come in. And like, not that this office clears out right at 6 or anything, because a lot of times people stay late. But it was like everyone was just waiting around.
Yeah, you've never seen this many people pretending to have work to do.
Right. Ah, the short week really messed me up. I just happened to have to be here for when Candy comes.
Right. Everyone just wanted a glimpse of Candy. And from what we heard, she gives a lot of information.
Yeah, I saw her come in, but we weren't in the studio when they were.
Right. So we just heard the aftermath, but she definitely covered everything from Kim in her box
to the cockroaches video.
Yeah. And much, much more.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that at BravoTV.com.
What else happened this week? Oh, well, I wasn't there because I had to do something like at my job, but
right.
I don't know if all of you listeners are on the HQ craze.
Right. Grace and I talked about it a couple episodes back. We won.
It was the best moment of my entire life. Even though, so we play in a group of about 5 people, and we have a rule that, so this is a trivia game. You have 3 answers, and you have 10 seconds to answer each question.
And you can't, there's no takesies backsies.
No
takesies
backsies.
Once you answer, you answer.
And so we have a rule in our group that you can't say the answer you think it is aloud until you're 100% certain.
Right.
So the question 2 or 3 was...
It was question 2.
It was question 2. Thank you, Megan. was, which of these animals never changes its spots? And the options were zebra, jaguar, or leopard?
Leopard.
Okay.
But in that second, Grace goes... Zebra! Zebra! Tap zebra!
And did you tap zebra?
4 out of 5 of us tapped zebra.
Eric is the, you know, Eric.
Eric of Eric J. Mack of Erica Jane moment.
Only one with enough wherewithal to be like, no, I think it's leopard.
My favorite is that later our friend and also podcaster John Thrasher, Martinez and Murder, go listen to it. Was like, I told my boyfriend this story, and he's like, I don't want to be with anyone that thinks that zebras have spots.
Anyway, after coming back from that real unforced error on my part.
We all helped Eric win.
We did.
That's the victory.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that he won without, because I'm sad I wasn't there, but usually we'll try to, like, I'll choose this one, and you choose that one, and then, like, we get along together.
No, this was a solo run.
I can't believe it.
It was a sight to see. And I think the video is on everybody, all of our socials.
Yes.
Where it's just pure joy.
Yeah. That said, if you want to bet on a winner, download the app and use my referral code, Megsegura.
No. Exactly. Use Rachy Rob.
Megsegura.
Gross.raisin.
We'll see how many referrals we get and which one of you, who gets... Oh, my God. I can't even talk.
Yeah. Do you really want that girl representing you on HQ?
Fine.
One last highlight of the week. Teddy Mellencamp Arroyave followed me on Instagram.
I'm so jealous.
Oh, my God.
It's a big
one. Did you
one.
Tag her?
Or is no. It because- just, I think, because we email.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Margaret commented on something I did recently. There's that. Me and Marge, friends forever. So we didn't have time to talk about it last week, but now is the time for the New Jersey reunion.
Both parts.
Both parts. You were there.
I was there.
Is it what it felt like when you were there? Like, watching it, do you feel like it was the same? Because I'm going to preface that question with, when I watched, and based on what you had said about certain people, I was like, oh, but they don't seem that over the top, or that didn't seem that bad. Mm. But when you came back, you were like, I don't know about this person. It didn't really go well.
So the reason I was most surprised that Sikki is not coming back is because I felt that she was so angry during the reunion and so just not having any of it. But at the end, it still felt like, okay, we've come to a resolution. The resolution is like she and Margaret won't be friends, but like it's fine.
Yeah.
And even when she left the reunion, like everyone looked tired because they film all day. But she came up to me. She kind of gave me a half smile, hugged me, and was like, it was a tough season.
Hmm.
But not like I would never see her again.
Right. It wasn't the Fredo kiss.
So that's, I don't know if that's what you meant, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel like, I didn't see it coming that based on this, that right. Sikki would leave.
Right.
So let's just get into this whole Margaret, Sikki, Hitler thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when this initially was brought up, Margaret did a very good job at like plainly stating the issues with it.
Right.
I was in shock because that comment is actually the opposite of anti-Semitism. A bad person, an evil person, could be good to just one person. I used it to say, don't be complicit, don't collaborate. And I'm not calling Kim D. Hitler. I was saying, you know what? Just because she's good to you doesn't mean she's a good person.
And, like, I think for the first time, because I think that, like, when it's happening and, like, in the season, she wasn't able to really, like, say, like, this is why it's a problem. Don't you see why it's a problem? Da, 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 da. And she did that in this episode. I was just impressed by that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I was worried about Margaret at first because she started that reunion so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no. Because I get it. Like, it's an overwhelming experience. And so I was worried, like, will she be able to hold her own today? But I think she just needed some warming up.
Yes.
And then she was ready to go.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, in the beginning, they always start light. And they're like, so the kids, show the kids package.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay, we'll get to the Hitler stuff.
Right, right.
You know.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
You can say it's in poor taste.
Andy, I can't do this.
My children were raised Jewish.
I don't give a f***ing
This is where Sikki, I think, lost fans. To be so like, you and I can have different points of view.
Right.
And that is the way it is. Everyone has a different point of view. If you're shutting down everyone who's like, no, look, I'm telling you, no one else thinks it's that big of a deal. Maybe you should let this go. And she's just like, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. All that matters is that me and my parents don't think it's okay.
I think what happened is Sikki painted herself into a corner. And I don't even know if she's really that offended at this point.
Right.
I truly think that she just, like, she's made her bed and now she feels like she has to lie in it.
Right.
And so it's, like, over the top. Like, she's just not just lying in it. She's, like, Sleeping Beauty, never going to get up. You know? Like,
and there is a part of me that gets that because at this point it would probably be embarrassing to be like, hey, you know what?
Right.
I just rewatched this season. You all are correct. I'm taking this a little too far.
Right.
Sorry about that.
Continues to double down. And because she refuses to at all relinquish any, like, maybe, you know, I was wrong at all. That's why she comes off. It's turning so many people off.
Right.
It's just so intense. And it's on, like, another level.
I will say, though, I thought there would be three parts based on. Okay, let me paint a picture for you.
Yes.
I had not seen all the episodes when I went to this reunion. The housewives will get, like, a batch of the last episodes the night before. So they stay up all night to watch how this concludes. So when I went to this reunion, I had not yet seen the Italy trip. I knew Margaret had been called an anti-Semitic, but I didn't know all the parts around it. So for me, I'm sitting in the audience because it took place in a theater. I'm in the audience. I have ears on so I can hear everything they're saying. And they are yelling about Hitler for like an hour. Like 1 hour of screaming back and forth about Hitler. And I was like, holy shit.
Right, right. Because you're like, you got it. Because remember when you came back, you were like, so Hitler's going to be a big thing. And I was like, what? Because we hadn't gotten there yet. And it was funny because
even when Rachel and I were first talking about Jersey, like we'll come into the podcast studio and we'll sort of be like, what are the points we want to talk about? She's like, can we just skip the Hitler part? Because it just seems too dark. And I was like, it's actually going to be a big thing.
I remember you saying that. I was like, but really, do we need to talk about it? I feel very weird. And now that just sounds so ridiculous to even say. But, you know, you live and you learn.
Right.
But they kind of ended it all on, like, we're just going to disagree. Siggy being like, I don't give a shit what anybody else thinks.
Right.
It because, doesn't matter to me.
And by the way, I always call it out because it happens so rarely, but Andy stating clearly as someone who's pretty much unbiased, just a viewer like us, saying, Siggy, it's weird. My parents are Jewish. I'm Jewish. It didn't seem like that big of a deal, the reference to Hitler.
Right. Like, and he's like, I did it as a favor to you because I was like, maybe I should be taking this seriously. I'll talk to my parents.
As a favor to you, yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As like a, like, I respect that you're this upset.
I got to tell you something. I am so on the other side of this, and I'm not taking away from your feeling. But as a Jew, and I discussed it as you asked me to when we spoke about this yesterday, I called my parents. They were not offended.
Forget it. Forget it.
So last week you, I don't know if it was last week, but you referenced season 4 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with Kyle and Carlton, and Kyle calling Carlton an anti-Semite. So I watched the reunion this morning because I don't know why. I wanted to revisit that season. And Kyle apologizes at the reunion. She explains why she called Carlton that. But she's like, yeah, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have said that because I understand the gravity of what that means to call someone that.
Right. But it's like Siggy doesn't care.
No.
Because she also does the thing that instead of being, when they specifically asked her, like, do you think that they're an anti-Semite? I can't tell you what's in someone's heart.
Right.
Do you think Margaret's anti-Semitic?
No. Absolutely not. I don't really think you think that either. I think that she...
I said I don't know. Only Margaret knows what's in her heart.
Ugh, which is almost worse than saying it. Come on, Sig. Let's talk about Danielle.
Oh, okay, because I do have an interesting story about that. So we had been told, as you know, a few of us in Bravo Digital, hey, Kim D is going to be at the reunion. Under no circumstances are you to repeat this information. Even at the reunion, please do not say her name. Always refer to her as a special guest because there are people always listening. It's like, oh, shit.
Like, I have this, like, the same thing happened with Mark Duber at the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion.
At least with Mark, I think it was a well-kept secret. Jersey, so I went to all the ladies and I was interviewing them before the reunion. And I was like, hey, do you think there's a possibility? Like, sometimes Andy brings a special guest out and they're like, oh, yeah, Kim D's coming. Like, they knew. So, I mean, I don't know if Kim D, because she's friends with Siggy and Dolores, and then they...
Yeah.
But what's funny is they went to such great length to sequester Kim D on a completely different side from all the other ladies. It's interesting.
It is interesting. I will say that I knew that no one was supposed to know Mark was there. And then they were at Craft Services, they mean Andy and Mark. And Andy's like, yeah, go on upstairs. I think Carrie's up there. And we're like, no. There, but I don't want to tell Andy. Hey, like, Andy, don't do that. You know, who the fuck am I? So I was like texting the producer, being like, Mark's going upstairs. I don't know if this is wrong, but like, I feel like it's wrong. And then we all saw what happened when Mark came out of the reunion.
Right. Whew. Shock. Dismay.
Shock. Dismay. Walk offs. But Kim D.
Kim D.
Oh, man.
Andy called her a bone collector.
Oh, did he?
I don't know if he did on what you saw, but he definitely did at the reunion.
Oh, my God. That makes me so happy. He just loves that phrase now.
He does.
Like, thank you, Atlanta, for bringing that to Andy Cohen. I just love the immediate. She comes out within 2 seconds. Andy has to go, don't you get off that couch, Teresa.
Hi, Kim.
Hi.
I guess they let the animal out of the cage.
Don't get off that couch.
I won't.
I know.
Ugh. And then, just immediately, they start going after each other. Clank, clank.
You want to take jabs at my marriage? I'll take jabs at you.
You'll mess with me, bitch, and you'll go right back to jail.
Okay?
Clank, clank.
Come on. I'm telling you.
It's just so amazing.
It was kind of funny because I think she came out towards the end of the day. Yeah, like it was like 6 p.m. or something. And after she left, Andy was like, all right, we're winding things down. And everyone was like, are you kidding me? Because like now we're ready. Like,
right. We're just fired up now.
Exactly.
I mean, Teresa, what she said, such amazing things. Yeah, she's a magnum. Is like my favorite what is it when you say something wrong?
Malapropism?
Yes, malapropism. Thank you, Grayson. Knew you would know. Because he's like, are you saying she's a madam? Yeah, she's a magdum.
Madam?
Yeah, she's a madam.
She's a madam?
Yes, oh,
madam.
I heard that too, yeah.
So good.
Do you think Kim D is a madam?
Well, I know, but I love her response being like, maybe I am. Like, that's what I got from that conversation.
Also, Andy's like, I mean, no offense, but I could see it.
And she's like, not offended at all.
I mean, I hate to say that's it, but I actually to. Could kind of no see you be a madam.
I cracked that whip.
So is it that Dolores has also known Kim D for a really long time? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Because I just can't see how you could be friends with both of them.
Okay, I wanted to ask you guys this because, so we see Charity across a lot of our franchises. Mm-hmm. And so they raised the point that, well, the reason we wanted to support Kim D is it was to raise money for the families of these boys that died.
Right.
And then it came out that $3,000 was raised. And Kim D was like, well, I mean, after you take out what it costs for the food and this.
Right, right, right.
I thought the people that throw charities, that's their charity. They right. are throwing it and paying for those things.
Right, you don't take from the charity bucket to pay for.
Right.
I don't know, though. I don't know if that's how charity works.
Do you know, Grace?
What, if the host is supposed to pay for everything?
They're supposed to pay for the dinner. Like, that's the donation.
Yes, that would be my understanding. I have not attended many galas or charity dinners.
You know who would know? Leanne Locken.
I know. Ooh. Any of the Dallas ladies.
Seriously.
Or Potomac. God, get all someone right. on the phone.
We'll talk to the closest rich person.
Or fans, remind us if we're ever like, so Leanne Locken's coming in next week. Remind us to ask her this question.
Right. Because who knows? Maybe we're wrong.
Right. Maybe we're wrong. I will also say that I agree with Teresa and Melissa that I did not think $3,000 was a lot.
Well, yeah.
You had the Posh Fashion Show.
Right.
And you did it as a charity event.
Yes. The girls got $1,000 a piece. They got so much.
$1,000.
$1,000 a piece.
That's it. You had a good point about Teresa being like, Andy, what about Danielle?
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was funny that they kept that in. That, like, Andy was so ready to say goodbye to Kim D that Teresa had to be like, oh, wait, there's this whole other issue we haven't even gotten to, and that's Danielle versus Kim D.
Hello? What about Danielle and Kim? Danielle got to say to Kim.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It just was so good. I loved when Melissa was like, I'm going to try to talk to you like a person. I'm not going to yell.
Either. I'm not going to yell at you. You want to have a conversation?
Yeah,
no, for a second. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to call you a name. Don't call me a name. Fair?
Fair.
It was just so dramatic and delicious. Oh, Kim D. Wow.
Wow.
One thing I want to mention quickly because it struck me was Teresa getting emotional when they played Dolores' package and when Frank was like, I made a mistake. I didn't appreciate you and I shouldn't have.
Yeah, he says, does the new boyfriend appreciate you? Because I know I didn't. That was my mistake or something. Yes. Yeah.
Do you think David appreciates you? Because I made the mistake not appreciating you, and I regret it.
And Teresa gets emotional, and Andy's like, why? And Dolores is like, why are you crying? Or Andy's like, why are you crying?
Why is she getting upset?
I don't know.
That was sweet that, you know, he said that.
I think that she was crying because she wants to hear that from Joe.
That was my impression, too. I think she's in a... I don't know. Like I've said before to you, I really am unsure of what's going to happen with her and Joe.
This reunion made me, though, think that she will never divorce him. The way she was talking was back to kind of like old Teresa talking about it. Like, nope, we're going to be together through and through. I'm my husband, he's my man, da 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 da. Whereas I feel like this season she very much was like, I'm really mad at him, I don't care. So I think something has happened where she's gone back.
I just love, you know, the scene where she's like learning to swim? mm-hmm. with that guy and how like cute and flirty and uncomfortable she is. I just think a relationship style show starring Teresa finding love would be like, of course I want their family to stay together, but I just think that that could be gold.
But then like they have to get interviewed by each of the four daughters.
Amazing. Ugh,
even better.
And then ultimately they have to go to prison, visit Joe and get his blessing.
Or Italy.
Yeah.
Also, when she was like, I mean, Italy's a beautiful place. I was like, if I had the option to live in Italy or New Jersey, I'd be in Italy.
Once Joe gets out, there's a possibility that he could be deported back to Italy.
I mean, Italy's a beautiful place to live.
No, I know.
I wouldn't mind. You know, I'm just saying.
Right. That means you would move there.
Listen, whatever God has planned for me, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, this was, to me, more indicative of anything. Before, Teresa has literally walked off set of other interviews with other publications when they brought up him being deported. The fact that she was willing to talk about it, I'm like, wait, why now?
I feel like Andy and Teresa's relationship is the most interesting between mm-hmm. him and all of other housewives. Because I feel like because she's gone through the most real things, they have this kind of weird connection and bond. And I think she, like, knows that she owes him a lot. But then, you know, I think a lot of people talk about, like, well, you were flashing everything on the show. And you're famous, so that's why you got punished harshly. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's an interesting relationship.
Yeah.
And she wants to make out with him.
Okay.
I want to make out with you.
I gotta tell you something. I'm a very good kisser.
Can I try? It's been a long time.
Sometime we'll try.
That's weird. It makes me uncomfortable.
Me too. Leave Andy alone. Anyway, I thought it was a great reunion. Any other special tidbits, Megan?
This probably may have been obvious to you, but Siggy had a really bad cold the whole day.
It wasn't obvious to me at all.
So she was like literally hacking up a lung. Well, I guess not literally because she didn't, but coughing so much that they had production assistants sneaking behind the couch to give her water and cough drops, which you see her sucking on a couple times. But then she asked, can someone go get, and it's like a cold medicine cough suppressant that starts with a D.
I know what you're talking about. It's a cough syrup. Delsim?
Yes. So she was coughing and she's like, can someone please get me some Delsim, which I've never had. She took it. Bam. Cough gone. So if you ever get sick, take Delsim.
I like it. We didn't talk about their looks.
Well, Siggy has referenced on Twitter that she dressed up as Belle.
I was going to say she looked like Belle.
She said because the role of the Beast was already taken.
Oh.
I thought Danielle looked great because of her hair.
She did. I loved when Dolores was like, you know how I feel about you, and you look great.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Great to see you. I love the hair.
Thank you. I have to say, you know how I feel about you. You look amazing.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I'm not going to be, yeah, that's as far as it, but.
I loved Melissa's hair, but it made me sad she had to put half of it back because it was rubbing up against her mic. Oh. Because, like, when it was out, it was like so full. And yeah.
I know. I was seeing her. And, like, I remember when you came back, you were like, her hair was tousled.
Yes.
Even though it's tousled.
I'm Googling it. I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Oh, my God. I'm excited. Grace is Googling. Anyway, so I was, like, excited to see it. And it did look different than it usually does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Boom! 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 Former beauty editor for the win. Tao? Anyway, she looked great. I loved Margaret's look. I thought she looked the best, and I loved the snake on her leg. Did you see that?
Oh, I didn't.
It was so cute. It was very Cleopatra.
Mm.
And she does remind me of Betsy Johnson. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
Did you see Betsy Johnson's tweet? She posted a picture of herself in pigtails.
I know. Cute. And she wrote to me also. She direct messaged me.
You remind me of Betsy Johnson.
Yeah, so I was so happy.
Anyway, good job, Jersey. I loved it. We're going to have the secrets revealed next week. I can't wait to see what secrets are revealed. Because I have a feeling I've already heard some of them.
So Aaron and I have a bunch of weddings coming up. And while for women, there's always all these options to rent dresses for each occasion. Ladies, I think you know what I'm talking about. Men, not so much. Options are limited. But guess what? We're going with the Black Tux. The Black Tux is a site that lets you rent the perfect menswear look for any occasion. You can either create a look from scratch, I would never let Aaron do that, or select from stylist-selected outfits. You just go to theblacktux.com, select what kind of event you're going to, and then you pick the color and style of your suit. Suits usually retail for $1,200, but at the Black Tux, they start at just $95. With the Black Tux, there's a free home try-on, so you can see the fit and feel and quality of your suit months before the event. If anything is less than perfect, the Black Tux will send you a free replacement right away. When your event is over, just drop your rental back in the mail. Shipping is free both ways. To get $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/dish. That's theblacktux.com/dish for $20 off your purchase. Okay, Vanderpump Rules. Let me start by saying that last week we started our Real Housewives of Atlanta recap with Kim's boobs. This week I started mine with Stassi's boobs.
I have a comment on this.
Okay.
I feel like she got a lift. Not a reduction.
She definitely got a reduction and maybe and a also lift. A lift.
Yeah.
But like that photo.
I mean, that was shocking.
I was watching this video we have on the site. It was like a season one exclusive. And Stassi said she had to wear two bras to keep her boobs up in dresses. Like, damn.
Yeah. She had very, very big boobs.
And that's the whole recap.
Nothing else happened on Vanderpump Rules this week. I just read down, of course, Peter does Reiki.
I love doing Reiki. It's weird, but it makes me feel like I'm in tune with the universe. I have all my chakras in line. It'll do a world of good for you.
Yes.
The most natural fit I've ever heard of.
And it was so interesting. Okay. Jack's crying.
There's a lot of things going on too right now. After the whole cheating thing with Brittany, no one's really asked me how I'm doing.
No, you don't get that.
But you understand now. This is why Jax cheats. Because when you're in a long-term relationship, there are going to be times you're not fully invested in the other person's well-being 24/7. You have a life. You have carpools, kids, dinner, you know, friends, work, things that aren't about that person. So it's like the second his significant other stops putting all their focus on him, he gets that attention elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, it kind of reminded me of the Margaret Jan situation of, like, she's like, I get it. I was in the wrong. I'm absolutely in the wrong. But I still want to talk to your kids. I want. And, like, no. And, like, Jan, number one fan right here for Jan, was like, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't have sympathy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel with Jax. Like, everyone has feelings. Everyone's a person. Of course he wants to have someone have sympathy for him. But you made your bed, and now you have to lie in it.
But even though the heat has been on Jax this season, I feel like the real star of this episode was James Kennedy.
Yes.
And Logan.
And Logan.
Okay.
It ain't about the pasta.
Sorry.
Well, but it ain't about the pasta.
It ain't about the pasta. It's not about the pasta.
That even pales in comparison to the end, but we'll start with the pasta.
The pasta. The pasta.
Okay, so James, Logan, Lala, all at
Sweet Chick, which is actually in New York and really good.
Okay.
Chicken and waffles, everyone should go.
Yeah. And they start talking about Raquel. He wants to make sure they like Raquel. Lala says,
we ate all her pasta and she didn't give us permission.
Who cares?
I agree with James in this, though, because she did not say it like for nothing. She was kind of making a dig.
Like, what kind? What was the dig?
We don't know the context of the pasta.
Okay, so you're
incident.
Saying it's okay that I don't get it. Like, yes. There's something there. We just didn't see it.
Yes. Cool. Clearly something happened between them. And she's like, well, you're from what I gather is that Raquel was like, do you want some pasta? And then Lala was probably a little drunk at the see you next Tuesday thing, ate it all, and then Raquel maybe got a little annoyed that she ate all her pasta. Which is like, whatever, that's a thing that happens. But then for Lala to bring it up and try to make it a thing or like make fun
it's
of her.
It's the intent
yes.
behind the eating of the
yes.
pasta.
Yes. Or bringing up the eating of the pasta.
Yeah.
Especially when he's like, I hope you like her. And she's like, well, she got all weird about my pasta the other night.
But a factor in this conversation is absolutely alcohol.
Oh, absolutely.
I we've already talked about this, but the amount of drinking. Who goes to a restaurant for a meal and is like, so I'll order these three shots and this drink?
I haven't ordered a shot at a restaurant ever.
Right.
Except for my 21st birthday. Like, I've never gotten a shot at a restaurant. I've gotten shots at bars and places where you can also eat. But, like, when I'm sitting down to have dinner, I'll have a cocktail or two.
Grace, you're a youngin'. What do you think?
Yeah. Because you're giving us looks like I have a shot at every meal.
No, I would never, like, be like, before we go to the appetizers, let's get a round of shots.
What do we do? A round of tequila. I have done tequila shots at, like, a Mexican restaurant, though.
That's acceptable, okay. I'll say.
Okay,
but the same thing happened when Brittany and Kristen and Katie went to lunch last week. They started meal with shots.
I know we talk a lot about how the men live in Peter Pan, but all of them do.
Yeah.
It's Neverland.
It's Neverland all the time.
La La Land.
I'm trying
also
to think.
Referenced in this episode.
I can't remember the last time I did a shot that wasn't free.
Right. That's true.
Also.
But this is, okay. So we're talking about the pasta. It's not about the pasta. It's about the pasta.
Right.
It's not about the pasta.
We're actually like, this pasta thing is a really big deal. Everything James has said is horrific.
Horrific, because he goes in on Lala and is like,
I told you I ate her
pasta. Honey, you the fat man because he pays for your rent.
Stop.
But this is why I love Lala, because, by the way, Katie, Sheena, Stassi, I don't know, all of you, take note. If you don't like the way someone's talking to you, set boundaries. You are not allowed to do this anymore. This is acceptable behavior. This is not acceptable behavior. If you want to talk like that, James, you'll do it with someone else. I won't be your friend anymore.
Right.
Stop.
You know what? You can't say whatever the you want. Learn your place, mother, or else you're going to learn real goddamn quick when you look next to you and I'm not there anymore. And you're going to be real upset. So know how the to talk to somebody when they're your friend.
Yes.
Well, I just had a lot of thoughts run through my head, but I'm going to wait because it's a point for later.
Okay.
But he also says, like,
he's going to get bored of you, and he's going to be on to the next young pretty blonde. If you want the truth.
Which, by the way, is probably her worst fear.
Right. I mean, I hope not. I hope it's like spiders.
Oh.
Because I hope she's confident, and I hope that their love isn't this, like, fleeting thing. And I hope that she would know that. But anyway, he reminded me, okay, so growing up, I would be like a little brat, right, when I was like a teenager. And my dad would be like, don't be like that, because if you want me to be mean, I'll be mean. And like, James is that guy. Like, he'll say the worst f***ing thing he can think of to say to you. You know, like, it's like he just has that ability in him. And I think that he always has to keep that in check, because he'll just say something like so mean and pointed, and like, because like you said, no, you're probably right, it is something that she probably worries about or like is a concern. So like, for him to call it out, it's so mean.
Right.
It's just mean is the word.
But she handled it as well as she could have.
She did. No, I mean, like, again, she's just a champion.
Okay, so last week we referenced a moment coming up in Vanderpump Rules that we stopped in our tracks, all gathered around someone's desk and watched twice, and it was this James and Logan situation at Sir, or was it Pump? I don't care. And it was during Gay Pride.
Babe, your glass has been crooked. Fix them.
Shut the
No, they're prescription. You can't break
my
sitting.
Really?
Me and Raquel, and then you next to me. I'm never losing you as a friend, ever.
I don't know.
Do you care about me more than anything?
Of course.
Okay, do I think you're in love with me? Absolutely.
Oh, you're in love with me also, so f*** off.
As the best friend, yes.
Oh, as more. I love you.
As more.
As a lot more.
I mean, there's so many. James is clearly wasted out of his mind. He calls Logan babe at one point. He's like, babe.
Oh, a few times, yeah.
A few times.
Okay, to me, though, it's not even so much about what James is doing, which is weird. It's more about how Logan is reacting.
He's very jealous.
Not reacting like a person that they're just friends.
No.
Because the way he pulls James in and whispers to him, the look he got, like when he goes, oh, really? Because he doesn't have a place next to James. The way he says, you're in love with me too. Oh, yeah, a lot more as friends.
I know. It's so telling. And it's like he got drunk enough to just be like, I'm sick of this facade and I'm putting it all out there. Like, that's the vibes that I got from him. I'm not saying that that's the truth, but that was like the reading that I got from it.
Yeah.
Even Raquel was like, something's going on.
I know.
Could you imagine having to tell your boyfriend, something's going on here with another person right in front of you?
I just always look out for him, you know?
Yeah, but there's something going on.
Okay. Next week, this continues, and Brittany, we talked to her about it because we knew it was kind of coming up. So, yeah, we're going to get her thoughts on all of this. But I did also want to talk about Sheena, because Sheena really disappointed me as a female this week. My mom always told me growing up, you have to make yourself happy. Your happiness cannot depend on a guy. Like, no one else is going to make you happy. And it's true, because in a relationship, you're going to have days where you're fighting. Like, that's natural. And if you can't be happy as a person deep down, even if, like, you're upset, you're still happy as who you are. And Sheena's not. And she says it I think it was in an interview. She was like, or maybe it was to Lala, like, when he's having a bad day, I have a bad day. When he's upset, I'm upset.
I function best when he's functioning best. And when he's happy, I'm happy. And if something's bothering him, then it's bothering me.
And it's just like, Sheena, like,
right.
It's fleeting.
I think that coming out of her relationship with Shay, the fact that this happened so quickly, like, it is a crutch, and so she's put everything into it. Like, I am able to survive my divorce and this terrible thing that happened if this works out.
Right.
So it's so much more than just Rob. I think it's
it's a man thing, not a Rob thing.
But I think it's like this specific instance, because if I can make this work, then my life's okay.
She needs
to be alone for a while.
I know. And I think it's good that she's moving to Vegas, as she told us in her interview a few weeks ago, because, yeah, maybe she can live independently and find out what that feels like.
Yes. Yes. It just, the whole thing made me really sad. But I just, like, my admiration for Lisa Vanderpump is, like, never ending. But it just got lifted even more this week, how serious she was taking Sheena and she saw her and she was like, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Something's going on with you. You don't look yourself. I would say you're 5 pounds thinner even this week.
And, like, the nurturing she did was just, like, really beautiful.
Right.
And I just, like, Lisa's just, like, a solid person.
Yeah.
And speaking of Lisa Vanderpump, we talked to her.
We talked to Lisa to get her take on all of the cheating that's been happening with the men on Vanderpump Rules. Plus, we asked her why she keeps coming back to Beverly Hills. Her answer's interesting. We are here with Lisa Vanderpump.
You definitely are. And the Jigster.
And Harrison, right?
Yeah, well, the Puffmeister. We call him Puffy. Because we adopted him. His name was Harrison. He didn't have a good time as Harrison, so he's reinvented himself.
Puffster.
And he's named Puffy. Yeah.
They are just waddling around like adorable little
you talking about
gifts
me
from God.
Oh, okay.
All right, Lisa, right off the bat, what was your first thought when you found out Tom Schwartz cheated again?
Lordy. Well, yeah. I had more of an emotional investment in this situation and in this relationship because, you know, I ordained the wedding. I'd officiated the wedding. So, of course, and I love them both very much and, you know, they were doing so well. So, of course, yes, I was upset, but you'll see me kind of, you know, take him to task.
Mm-hmm. At this point, can anyone from Vanderpump Rules do anything that would surprise you?
Well, there could always be the next season. So every season I say no, that I think we've got it all, but no. And you know what? I don't want to tell all of you like you're missing something, but this show could actually be filmed 24/7 because even when the cameras are down, I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, Lord. And then we have to deal with the aftermath. So, yeah, I mean, and case in point, you know, whatever happened with Schwartzy was probably not when we were filming. So, you know, things that just keep rolling along.
Yeah. You know, Ken's here too, by the way. And you've talked before about how Ken in his heyday was crazier than all these guys combined.
Yes. Yeah.
What is the difference? He was able to settle down.
Oh, please. You're making him look like a saint. He's no saint. Let's be very clear about that. No, he's, does a leopard change its spots? I mean, they can try to, but there's still the odd spot underneath. I know. Mm-hmm. He's not totally, you know, the ideal man that he pretends to be. And all my friends always like, oh, he's the perfect husband. But guess what, ladies? There isn't one.
Mm. Mm. All right, so he might jax a girl or two.
God, no.
What you're saying is there's some hope for Jax.
Well, a little. I mean, well, I didn't marry Ken until he was 36. Mm. So, you know, and I think he got most of it out of his system by then, you know, and I think that's an important part. I mean, you guys see Pandora and Jason, and they got married so young, you know, but yeah, they're very happy and they love each other. I think every relationship and every man is different. I really do. And I crack that whip. Keep him on his little English toes.
So you don't have to say what it involves, but if you're thinking back on all the craziness that unfolded over this past season, what's a name of a person who shocked you the most?
Gosh. Well, my kind of mind always goes to Jax, you know, but I think with Schwartzy, I think I was just, I had high hopes, and it wasn't that it was something so devastating they couldn't come back from it, but I wasn't expecting anything at all. And okay, he talks about he made out and he forgot, but you know, and they have, as we say, they are moving forward, clearly. But I just, I had this fairy tale, idyllic kind of perception of hopeful. That's what it was when they got married in the woods. I was hopeful. So, yeah.
I think Schwartz. Everyone was. Because, yeah. And everyone that's come through has just been like, they've been so much better since they got married. There's been no issues. So. It's disappointing.
But, you know, to go from now till the rest of their lives, if people think there will be no issues and it's going to be a fairy tale, that's not reality. So, okay, best let's get it sorted out now and hopefully he's learned his lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But let's move on to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
So everyone seems to be getting along right now.
No. Oh, I see what you mean in the second or third episode.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, keep watching that.
Oh.
No, that never happens. I mean, it would be great if it did. But, you know, I think also the audience like a bit of conflict, and that always inevitably happens because then you have all different points of view and perception. Everybody sees a different point of view. And if you put people together for long enough and we go on trips, and the only kind of prerequisite, I think, in reality television is to speak your mind. You don't want the audience sitting there thinking, well, I know Lisa really thinks that, but she's just not saying it. I'm going to say it. So, yeah, it's always a little provocative, and it makes for, you know, interesting conversation, but sometimes it can be pretty hurtful, honestly.
Has anyone, you know, I always find it fascinating that you guys go through this whole season and then you see people, what they say in interview, which is completely unknown to you. Has anyone said anything so far that has been surprising?
Well, as I say, we're only just like, you know, just kind of started. But yeah, you know, you see things and you think, well, I didn't know they felt like that. You see, I think how I've done 300 episodes almost of reality television for you guys. And I think you can pretty much say that my interview bites echo my sentiment in scene. And some people, it doesn't. So they'll be quiet in the scene and then they cut their interview and bang, and you'll be like, well, I didn't know they felt like that. And that's why we have the reunion.
Right? Exactly. My favorite part.
Yeah.
Yes.
So in this week's episode, fans will see Dorit spotlighting as a hand model for you on the magazine shoot.
Yeah.
And she's kind of particular. out of, like, scale from 1 to 10 of all the housewives, who's the biggest, like, pain in the ass diva?
Well, I'm not going to say anything negative about any of them because it's going to ignite a firestorm. I'm not going to do that. I'm not falling into that trap. I'm older and wiser. But I thought she was being, you know, like, when I'm the editor-in-chief of the magazine, of course I'm not, like, focusing on every single detail. I couldn't. We have a fashion editor. We have makeup artists. We have, you know. So basically, I thought it'd be fun for us to do it together. And I thought we were just going to really highlight the jewelry. So when they said, well, they wanted makeup artists, clearly it wasn't a fashion shoot because we didn't have any fashion clothes there. We were just, you know, using some of Christina's clothes that she'd kind of, I mean, even though she was a, you know, she makes her, she has her own brand, but we were just highlighting the jewelry. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think it was a big deal about hair and makeup and all that. And she made it a bigger deal than it was. And she knows I feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Dorit is now getting a little more heat again like she did last season. But you two are close.
Yeah, we are. But I think you can only protect somebody so much. I think you've got to really take responsibility for what you say in a reality show. And I'm sure if she had a couple of drinks this week and looks back at it, you know, I mean, I kind of try to diffuse it by laughing. You see that? I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, shit. You know, because there's no really appropriate way you can call Camille Grammer a see you next Tuesday and get away with it, you know, especially she was in front of her new boyfriend. And so I kind of tried to fuse it by laughing. She said, can I ask you something? I was like, no, I think you should really think carefully before you ask that question.
That was
I say
amazing.
That.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You know, I was kind of like a little wary. And then I think I tried to put the napkin over her mouth, you know, like this. So how far can I go? And then, you know what? I've given you the signal that you need to pay attention. But okay, if you're gonna, you're on your own,
right? How awkward was that when she said that?
Well, extremely. But I do remember when, I don't even like to mention that BG word of who used to be on the cast, but I remember when she said, you know, something like totally inappropriate, and you cut to me and I'm laughing. And I think sometimes if it's a friend that says something vastly inappropriate, I'm not going to go, are you out of your crate? I go, I think it's my English kind of in me, you know, used to those dinner parties thing. Okay, shut up now. You know, so yeah, it was that, very much that.
Yeah. Is this a foreshadowing maybe to some other clashes later this season?
Well, there were a few kind of differences, that's for sure. And I think you've probably seen that on the teaser. Mm-hmm. And Teddy kind of came in, you know, with an opinion, which is always good because often the housewives on the first season, they don't know where to go. And I think she was pretty kind of solid, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about her. And I feel like...
I like Teddy. I like Teddy, but she didn't have the best relationship with all of them. But, you know, when you have something in common with somebody, and, you know, we had a love of horses, so, you know, going riding with her and stuff kind of was great, great bonding, you know.
You have so many jobs, so not only are
exactly,
you...
Exactly, so why are you making me sit here when I should be at home working?
But, you know, you take on editor-in-chief, you oversee these restaurants. What makes you keep coming back to Real Housewives?
See, I'm a wife as well, and I have to keep him awake. See, he's snoring while I'm doing a radio interview. Thank you, Ken. See, whatever I'm saying is absolutely riveting. Did you hear that snoring? Well, what makes me come...
Snoring, it was
yeah. Well, always blames his
tools.
Yeah,
always blame the dog.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are happy moments when I have, and Bravo know this, and I haven't been that kind of public about it, where I've actually said, I can't do this anymore. But it's not because of being too busy. This year we had a long talk about that because I was very busy, and Vanderpump Rules now has a lot of episodes, and also, you know, wanting to do this new restaurant and opening the pet store, and I wanted to be the editor of a magazine because it was just such a compliment. So I don't want to turn things down. Also, philanthropic, you know, things have really, you know, Vanderpump Dog Rescue Center has really been a lot of work. So I have had moments, but I've also had moments that have been emotionally driven in my decision of not wanting to come back. I mean, Andy said to me on season 5, I didn't think you'd come back. And I said, Andy, I really, really did not want to, but my relationship with Kyle has pretty much remained strong. And so that's been, you know, a big part of it. And, you know, at times I was devastated season 4 and season 6. But I work with Evolution, who produce Vanderpump Rules as well. They're the production company. And I have a great relationship with them. And so if I've kind of shown any doubt, they've kind of, you know, said, come on, Lisa, you know, you've been on since the beginning. Don't walk away. Don't. And I've come back to it. And I've never regretted coming back. But even though I have had moments when I just thought I can't do it anymore. I mean, I did the first season. On season 2, I thought, well, that's it. That was nice. So I'd just do one season. And they were like, what? No, don't be ridiculous. We're not going to stop now. 300 episodes later, I'm still here. I just see myself getting older and older. But also, I've had an unbelievable time with Bravo. We can't forget that. And also, how generous they've been in their kind of portrayal of some of the things that have been very close to my heart. You know, they really kind of went out on a limb and supported me, you know, fighting the Yulin Dog Meat Festival. They've always given me plenty of space to, you know, fight for LGBT rights and highlight that gay pride every year. And, you know, in lieu of, you know, the Pulse nightclub shooting, that whole episode of Vanderpump Rules was devastating, but it was that, you know, the message was, we're not going to give up, we're going to stand strong, and, you know, in solidarity. And so I've had amazing times with Bravo, and I think of them as my family. I love Andy Cohen, even though sometimes on the reunion I hate him. I'm like, why are you such an ass to me? You know, I'm thinking, I want an earpiece straight to Andy Cohen's head when he's on the reunion. I want to be in that tower, you know, speaking into his ear. But I love him, and I just love Evolution, everybody we work with. So that makes the bond so much stronger, you know. But I mean, when I came back on season 5, my tagline was, I'm passionate about dogs, just not crazy about bitches.
Oh, that was the best.
And yes. Bravo said, you can't say that. You're never allowed to say the word bitch in the tagline. I'm like, well, I'm talking about the dogs. Like, oh, all right then.
You're like, watch me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we have to say goodbye to you, unfortunately.
No.
Yes, I know. We have to send you on to the video team.
Oh, Lordy, it's so much easier doing, like, radio and everything.
Right, you don't have
like,
to worry about what you're looking like.
I would have stayed at home in my pajamas. Well, I just did the Megyn Kelly show, so I'm ready to go.
How was it?
It was good, and I kind of entered with trepidation because, you know, but when she opened the show, she said, I'm so much more excited interviewing you guys than I was Putin. And I thought, oh, okay, I really like her.
Oh, my God, yes.
Never been compared to Putin, but we'll take it.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
But before we leave Beverly Hills, it's time for the most Erica Jane moment of the week with Eric J. Mack.
Hey guys, it's Eric J. Mack, and this is the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
So this moment came right after Dorit was driving the Pagani, which that is a new car to me. I had never heard of that before.
Is it the
you're
rose
in the
gold
wrong,
one?
You're in the wrong tax bracket.
I am. It wasn't rose gold. It was like blue.
No. What is the rose gold? A Rolls Royce?
That's a Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the moment came after when they were test driving and Dorit was like, I'm feeling kind of turned on right now. And Erica says, my dick just got hard as she was, you know, when she was test driving the Pagani.
I swear to God, I'm sexually aroused.
I told you that. I told you my dick got hard. Telling you.
Why did you shout it into my mic?
Dick just got hard.
Sorry, guys. She shouted it. She was very excited. I mean, I think she was feeling very, like, masculine in that vehicle. So, and that car was $3 million, you guys. I mean, can you imagine driving a $3 million car?
No.
Like, I remember because Ryan Flynn was, we were talking with the digital producer on set, and she was kind of talking about, here's what's happening this week. They test drove a $3 million car, and I was like, ugh. And I, like, kind of caught myself because it's so obnoxious.
Yeah.
But I also love it.
I didn't love it. I don't know. It seemed, like they said, it looked like a spaceship a little bit. It's just not very practical for Los Angeles, I feel like.
Right.
I used to live there. I feel like you need a Prius. You need something
it's
that's, like, economical.
It appreciates it. doesn't appreciate.
The moment you drive it off the lot.
I know.
Loses $500,000 worth, like, yeah, the second it leaves the lot.
That's the point.
I do have to say, Megan, that when they were in the car together, I did feel like it was you and I.
Me?
Yes, I feel like their rapport, now that they're getting along, is very much like...
an Eric-Megan situation?
Absolutely. Like, that would have been us test driving a $3 million car.
Totally. As we're wont to do.
Maybe we should do that sometime. Okay. Just, like, pretend like we're car shopping and just show up to
a
place.
We're very fancy people.
We are podcasters for Bravo.
Well, Josh Flagg always gets annoyed when, like, Looky Loos come. He's like, can I always tell because they dress up for showings.
Mm. That is the thing now. It's like, it shows how rich you are, how little you dress up sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I've always heard? And it could have been one of you who told me this, that you always look at someone's shoes.
Yes.
Like, if they're, you know, dressed in, like, you're not sure, look at their shoes. And if they're designer or, like, look expensive, you know that they are. They got money. What do you think my Zara boots that I'm wearing right now are worth? These are about 3 years old. They're negative right now.
Right.
I actually have to pay Zara to wear these.
But talking about dressing down, rich, blah, blah, blah. At the spa day at...
Oh, my
wait,
God.
What did they call it? A spa circle or something.
Yeah, spa circle.
They kept saying it. I was like, no one calls any... Like, I've never heard that phrase. But anyway, everyone showed up in their version of dress down. But then Camille showed up in an actual, like, garbage sweatsuit. Felt so bad.
I mean, Kyle was in PJs, like, but a one piece, but they were,
PJs cost,
you know,
like $10,000.
Yeah, I would imagine.
No, I looked it up. I did a post on it on robotv.com.
$10,000?
Yes.
See, that's what it is. It's
now,
like,
that
look
was the
at,
whole suit or just piece by piece, like what each is five?
I think together maybe it together. Was 10. Wow.
But see, if you're wearing $10,000 pajamas, it's saying that you're very, very, very wealthy.
I mean, yes.
Because pajamas are like $20, maybe, max. I mean, these are the free t-shirt I got from work.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, guys, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
Let's end on a high note. The Real Housewives of Atlanta released their mid-season super tease. And Rachel hasn't watched it yet.
I know I haven't. I'm so excited.
Cheers. Bring home a chicken, make a cream for that day.
Make it rain.
3, 2, 1.
We're in Spain, y'all.
I love Eva.
What has blown up in Atlanta?
She's a really cool chick, fun girl.
I just saw it on a blog that you dated Missy Elliott or...
Come again?
Is there anything else that we can talk about besides Tyrone?
He didn't even want to go down that road. I'm surprised that she's even mentioning my name, because that's not good for her.
NeNe's been using her back for 40 years as a f***ing stripper. I don't know why she doesn't have a problem.
NeNe is sick and disgusting, and she lives in a roach nest.
Hold on.
She don't know what the f*** she mother talking about.
Why is NeNe an exterminator?
When the f*** did I call my husband during the elephant
room? Wait, who the f*** you cussing at? You want to go there, I will.
I've forgiven so much.
If you need a break, take a break.
We can't allow one person to affect everybody else.
I know I shouldn't have seen what I've seen.
It's not so bad.
I know.
That's my part. I don't want to be a part of this every time.
He doesn't f***ing exist.
So without any further ado, my loving husband, I love you, Mark.
This man's crazy, crazy, like 5150 crazy.
Everybody, including Eva, can tell you something about your man.
Just because you tell me don't mean I gotta believe it.
Look, who you think you talking to?
Candy went below the belt. Now, it kind of made me want to check her ass.
When you were first, I think, don't do that.
Marlo, you lied on her.
Not touch me or nothing around me. Hey, you hear me?
Not a moment.
Bye.
That looks so good.
Yeah. So good. Also, I had heard that there was this girl going to be coming on this season, Eva. I didn't know it was Eva from Top Model.
I know. I didn't know that either, but I was in another meeting and someone said that, and I was like, I loved her, the spider picture. I remembered her spider picture, like, so vividly.
And I remember it was, like, controversial that she won because she's short. She's not runway tall on
her season. They kept talking about, oh, my God, Kate Moss. Mm. They were always talking about Kate Moss in comparison to her. I'm so excited that she's here. We heard more bad things about Will.
Yes, which I agree. He gives me a sketch vibe.
Mm-hmm. When someone's so smooth.
Yeah.
Why? What did Nene say that she's crying about, that she feels so bad about?
I don't know.
What is that?
I know.
And Kim and Candy, I love, nothing makes me happier than Candy's cry voice. If you want. It's so good. It makes me so happy. Oh, that looked really good. I can't wait. Barcelona. All right, I think it's that time of the week for the Rose and Thorn. I was really excited that Andy did it too.
I want to steal a page from the New York Housewives and go around and ask you each what your rose and thorn of the season was.
Megan, what was your rose this week?
So I don't know if you guys at home have been watching, but I'm working on To Rome for Love, which is a different kind of show for Bravo, in that like it's just this concept of women going to Italy to find guys that actually appreciate them. And the hilarity ensues because of the communication barriers, but also these are predominantly white Italian men who love black women. And Nikita was on a date, or was meeting a guy, and he said, you know, you remind me of someone. I don't know her name. Pretend I'm talking in Italian, by the way.
Okay.
But she's from a show called Empire. And she goes, mm-hmm, Cookie? And he's like, yes, Cookie.
Cookie.
I guess he thought that maybe because I'm a black girl, that I probably looked at that as a badge of honor.
That is not a compliment. Cookie is a goddamn hood rat.
Oh, cultural misunderstandings.
Yes.
We watched some of that show in a meeting we had, and I loved it. Absolutely, 100%. Excellent rose.
Yeah.
My rose is from Million Dollar Listing this week.
Mm.
Because you had Josh Flagg's engagement party, which was 100 people, which is some people's wedding.
Right.
His wedding is 350 people, which I don't know that many people. But Sonia Morgan was there.
Of course she was.
And just seeing her little face.
Sonia Morgan is the Eric J. Mack of Bravo Lebs. Like, she knows everyone.
It's so true. But what was your thorn?
Okay, so my thorn was from Vanderpump Rules. So this week, Schwartz was, like, very praising of his wife, Katie, and saying, she's so cool. I'm falling in love with her all over again. And it was because she didn't get mad that he did get drunk, take shots, and ended up sleeping over Sandoval's house. So it annoyed me that what he finds sexy about his wife is that she doesn't hold him accountable.
Right. And then when Tom was like, yeah, it is really sexy when women are like that. And I'm like, what is so sexy about that?
For a minute, I always question myself, like, do I have like a rigid set of standards? But then Lisa Vanderpump is always the voice of reason. It's like, you're married. Yeah. Go home at night.
Yeah.
This isn't normal behavior.
Schwartzy is actually getting too old to get away with the puppy dog antics. You're married. And that comes with responsibility. Yeah, we got a problem.
I mean, like, I would want, if my husband was out with his friends and, like, got too drunk and didn't want to come home and be, like, a mess and was like, I'm just going to sleep over his house. That's fine to me. It's more like the way that the context for me is everything, because mm-hmm. it's not like my husband, I don't think, would be the type of person, or I would hope wouldn't be the type of person, that when he gets drunk then kisses other women.
Yes, yes.
So, like, it's the context that makes that all gross. It's like, whatever, you did that, that's fine. But it's more like, no, she asked you not to do that because you're kind of a piece of shit when you do that.
Right. What's your thorn?
My thorn is, so Summer House came back this week.
Right.
Everyone should go watch it because it was really good.
Oh.
There's a few new people. One of them is Amit, and he's really cute. Amit Newman, which Carl makes this joke that's nice to Amit you.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing. Anyway, but Amit is one of those people that's like, I just couldn't do the corporate thing anymore, so I quit my job and now I travel. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you look like a model and like do model and can do that. Anyway, my thorn is Carl, just in general. Like, he obviously was not great with Lauren last year, But this episode, I think he says less stress, more life, maybe 25 times, like throughout the episode. He's just like, less stress, more life, less stress, more life.
Like, no stress,
more life.
No stress, like, life is good.
Carl?
No stress. I'm sorry, more life.
Don't say that.
No stress.
Don't say no stress, because it is stress.
No one cares, Lauren.
And he's screaming at people.
Interesting he was your thorn, because when he came in the office recently,
he was my rose.
He was very much your rose.
He is, I mean, they're all... I did this, the media training for them last year and this year, and, like, both times, I just was like... All these people are, like, close to my age, but they're all, like, Barbies and Kens and, like, perfect human beings because they're all, like, really tall and just, like, you know, like, when you're little and you're, like, I'm going to look like, or, like, what 28-year-olds look like is that. You know what I mean? Like, I still think I look like an 18-year-old. So, like, when I'm around them, I'm like, oh, you're what, like, a 30-year-old looks like, if that makes sense. But, like, beautiful and perfect.
I was on the train, on the M train this morning, and I was staring at this woman, and I was like, that's a famous person. Like, she was just, like, carrying herself, like...
Famous.
That's a famous person. And then I was like, oh, that's Lauren Workus.
See, they have a presence!
Mm-hmm. She was just, like, too tall and had too good skin to be on the train with me.
No, totally. It's like they're another... They're all very tall. I think the height is very helpful.
And she was wearing, like, a hat with a puffer thing on it, so it was just, like, extra.
So, yeah, hopefully Carl makes it back onto your good
list. I don't know, though. Based on the next on and what I've seen and heard, he might not. He might be on my thorn list for a while. I know, Carl. But he's so cute in person.
So beautiful.
Oh, my God.
You guys need to send us what your roses and thorns of the week were. Tweet us at BravoTV using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. So we're going to introduce a new segment to the podcast. I think it's very necessary. You guys often don't see it. Maybe you hear a quiver in her voice, but at least once every recording, Rachel cries about something. Legitimate tears in her eyes. So may I present what made Rachel cry this week?
I wish we could use the soundbite of... Jude Law in The Holiday being like, I'm a weepa, because that's what I always think of because I cry about everything.
This is Grace coming in to say that we can absolutely not use that because of copyright issues. So here's Lisa Vanderpump.
I don't want to cry.
This week I cried during the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion when Teresa was talking about her mom and when they were like, well, was your rose and thorn for the week? And Teresa was like, well, my thorn obviously was losing my mom. And she's like, I don't even know how I'm still standing. And it was just very... It was a lot, and I just was like, and Eric, he sits next to me, and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm just, Teresa lost her mom, and she was only 66. I didn't know that, and that's, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so young. That just was like, a lot. That was so sad.
So come back next week for What Made Rachel Cry This Week.
Now it's time for some fan shout-outs.
Fan shout-outs.
It's just a bird, you guys.
I got a good one today, very recently. I already showed you, but I'm going to read it. And I'm going to read it. No, maybe you should read it in a British accent.
I'll try. Okay. Well, are they British?
Yes. All right.
Oh, my God. I literally just gasped when you said your favorite word for vagina was gash, and I couldn't stop laughing on the tube. Subway. I'm from London, and it's 100% not a posh word, but it's so funny nonetheless. I absolutely love the podcast and listen every week without fail. I catch all Bravo episodes through an app. An app? Maybe it's an illegal app.
Maybe she's talking about Hey You, which is how you can watch NBC Universal shows internationally.
Oh, thank you, Grace. You, Rachel, and Grace make me laugh every week. Please don't change any of it, X, which is such a British thing to put X on your text.
So that was from Amy Rose Lee. We love you. Thank you. That was so nice.
I know. And I'm so glad it came out of gash.
Yes. Lots of beautiful things come out of a gash.
Anyway, what else have the fans said this week?
We have a new review on iTunes. Subject line, yes, this is my favorite podcast. Love you, Meg and Rachel. Thursday is now my favorite day of the week, and I purposefully don't schedule meetings in the morning so that I can listen to the entire episode before I start my day.
Now, this is the thing that made me cry.
Jesus, she's really crying. More often than not, I find myself laughing out loud and yelling yes by myself in the car. It's like an amazing night in with your best friends dishing on our favorite Bravo shows. But better, because these best friends are able to actually call Jax on his crap and ask our favorite housewives the questions we're all dying to hear the answers to. If that's not just the most beautiful thing ever. And that is from Alexis Zig.
Someone commented on, I put up a picture of Kyle on my Instagram at Suspiciously Small. And they wrote, two of my favorite Bravo ladies. And I like got emotional, be like, am I a Bravo lady?
I on the same playing field as Kyle Richards?
I am not, but the fact that you haven't even considered. It just was like, I got emotional. Yeah. But we have so many amazing fans. There's like so much we could read out. I wish we had all the time.
And we, of course, want to shout out Becky Noblog, who, even if we don't mention you every week, we're always thinking about you. Love you, Becky.
Yeah. And I always love a Ross gif.
Yes. And remember, you guys can join in on the conversation at any time. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish, or reach me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
And you can find me on Twitter at Rachie Robb and me on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
And if you're looking for new podcasts like ours that take reality TV for the serious art form it is, check out our friend Kate Casey's show, Reality Life.
She talks to a ton of people from Bravo shows, from shows like The Bachelor and The Real World.
Love The Real World. She recently talked to Teddy Mellencamp Arroyave from Beverly Hills, and she got her to talk a bit about how she came on the show.
So one of the things I really wanted to ask you was about how... Not only, first I want to know how you joined the show, but I also wanted to know if you had seen any episodes of the show before.
So I had never seen the show prior, and I probably should have, but no, I had never seen the show prior. And the way I kind of got brought on to the show is because Dorit and I have a mutual friend in common, and we all host these different Beat Buds classes. It's like a kids' music class. I'm sure you probably know what it is. Yeah. But we have them at all of our different houses, and Jagger is the same age as Cruz. So she had come to one of those, and that's kind of where we met. And that's where, I mean, you guys all see us meet at the exact same time that her and I met.
Oh, how funny. And then someone asked me if you know the What's Up app moms, because they were in the background of the party, too.
I do. I'm friends with Meg, and I actually did a video for them one time, just, you know, so she came and brought her son as well.
So funny. So you never watched an episode, which is so surprising. And I actually, it's a good question. I don't know if that helped or hindered. Did you, the first day of filming, did you think, this is so outside of my norm, but I'm just going to roll with it?
I think when I first started filming, you know, the biggest learning curve for me was I have to be very present. You know, sometimes when you're running a business and you have your kids and you have all these things in your life, some moments you're not present. And that's something that I really need to work on in myself. And I see myself, and I mean, I think the audience can see it too. You can kind of see it in my face when I'm like trying to focus, you know, because you're having long, you know, you're going through, you know, whether it's drinks or meeting somebody, you're having long conversations and you have to stay focused. And that's a good lesson, whether you're on television or not. Listen to people talking to you.
How much of the time is spent hearing backstories? Because I know women, when you get into a group, there's always someone that's like, well, let me give you the background. I know that you're someone who has said on the show, you know, I'm just going to go into conversations with an open mind. Like, if everyone says that Lisa Rinne is crazy, that's fine, but I'm going to figure that out on my own. So how annoying is that as a new cast member, like having to listen to other people talk about their backstory?
I mean, I think the thing for me is, and what you kind of see with a big group of strong, opinionated women is, not everybody's going to get along with who everybody else does. So somebody's opinion may be valid, but really has nothing to do with me and how it's going to make me feel.
Right.
Everybody is going to rub everybody a different way. You know, I may bother somebody and not bother another person. You know, it is what it is. So that's why when you get a backstory, if it doesn't pertain to you, it doesn't really help you in any way.
Yeah.
I do better with just feeling like a good to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and most of the time, it's right.
So is it are the women on The Real Housewives, do they match the other women that you know in real in Beverly Hills or Beverly Hills adjacent? Like, are they as, you know, fancy as the other women? Are you relating on a day-to-day level with women that are as dressed up as they are?
I mean, I have friends all over the spectrum. Let's be honest. Like, I've always been one of the most casual of any of my friends, just in general. I mean, but that being said, you know, whether the outside appearance or whatever it is that somebody's portraying or the way that somebody is really isn't how I judge a friend. You know, for me, it's like, what is it that we talk about? Can we laugh? Can we have fun together? So regardless if somebody's more done up or more casual, it's really in their personality, not in their aesthetics for me.
Did you feel like a pressure at all? Like, I've got to get new clothing. I have to blow my hair out every day during filming because, I mean, I'm somebody who wears workout clothes all the time, too.
I mean, let's be honest. I have like 14 strands of hair of my own. So the fact of having to deal with my hair situation has been a whole, you know, scenario. But, I'm a baseball cap kind of girl. So, yes, I mean, when you're filming, you can't wear a ton of baseball caps because then people can't see your expression. So that was a big wake up call for me. I'm like, what do you mean? I have to do an interview without my baseball cap? But other than that, I think you see throughout the season that I'm probably the most casual of the group, but it's also not what I'm into. I love to feel good and look nice, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like I'm just figuring it out, you know, but there's other things that I'm passionate about that other girls probably aren't interested in. So I love watching the other women's fashion. It's just not something I'm super into.
Well, I remember watching one Instagram story. It was like late at night and you were talking to your husband who was half asleep about how you really felt like you needed to up your game as far as lingerie. And he was like, I'm like so passed out. I don't even know what you're talking about. So do you feel now that you're on TV, like, oh God, now I have to dress up because I might run into somebody and they might, you know, want to talk to me?
I wish you could see my outfit right now and what I'm about to pick my kids up from school in. No, I am. I can't even. Like, the second I got done doing press this morning, like on camera, I took my makeup off, took my hair out. Like, I'm back to like in my sweats, like doing my business, you know, because all my business is over the phone. So I'm back in my comfy clothes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, definitely not. I am what I am.
Check out the link to that episode in the description below and find Reality Life with Kate Casey wherever you listen to podcasts. Looking fine and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me.